Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, have mercy on our souls. The season is over. The Sharks were the worst. They have the best odds of getting number one the pick.
They're the worst.
And now the torture begins.
Yeah.
While we impatiently wait to find out if it's going to be the Boston Bros coming to San Jose, dude. It could be the best case scenario, right? Or it could be a true wave of disappointment.
Yes.
Dude.
When's the lottery?
The lottery is, I looked this up today, it is May 12th.
May 12th. Okay.
Yeah, it's on my calendar. May 12th.
We're going to have to do that thing where we watch it. I think that one that we like live streamed it, right? Isn't that what we did?
Yeah.
Sort of?
Yeah. I mean, if I remember right, I don't think the Sharks can be worse than two, right?
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I thought they could be three or four, but I could be wrong.
Ooh, that's even worse. I don't know. Now we're now there are holes in our knowledge, dude. But anyone knows the answer to this?
It doesn't matter. Chicago's getting the pick,
dude. I hate that. That's how you know what? Actually, I'm. You know what? I take it back. I'm cool if this is how you feel about it because. Dude, if this is how, if you have to process this way, dude.
This is how I do it.
Okay. If you're going to process this way, allow you to feel negative about this, dude. I am, I believe the turnaround is coming. I think that the Boston Bros are on their way. And we will start to see very soon the light at the end of the tunnel, dude. And some improvement or at least some excitement for the love on this roster, right? That is just void of skill. Like, you know, you can add Celebrini, hopefully, and Smith. Dude, it would be a huge boost to the fan base. Even if they suck and we don't want them to be good again, keep adding, right? But man, wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool. There has been a little of excitement. I wouldn't say excitement, but there has been a little positive here at the end. Barracuda, Philip Bystead comes over, flies over to play the last few games with the Barracuda, which I think we had an offline conversation about this. Why would they do that? The Barracuda aren't any good, but maybe the Swedish, he's in the Swedish league, right? The Swedish league was over, give him some different kind of competition. I think on the smaller ice, they play on the world ice in Sweden, give him a taste of what NHL or American type professional hockey will be like. And he played very well.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I mean, he came over in 8 games, he had 7 points. And, in those 8 games, the Cuda got points in 6 of those games. So, you know, I mean, it's a small sample size, right?
Yeah.
But we're allowed to get excited about that, I think.
About anything.
About that you see that this guy, that quickly, there was no adjustment period, really. He became almost a point per game player on the AHL level, right? And you look at the Sharks who, you know, if you look at their average point per game, Gushkin, it was 0.96 points per game in 56 games, and Bystad was right behind him at 0.88. Those are the two best forwards on the Barracuda roster, right? And then some dude named Nathan Todd.
Okay.
Who is Nathan Todd, dude?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
Right.
Dude, I don't think Nathan, I think Nathan Todd is like a journeyman AHL guy. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No disrespect to Nathan Todd.
Yeah.
But I don't think he is a future Sharks player. Anyways, dude, yeah, that's a bright spot. That's a bright spot for sure. You got to like that. And, you know, you hope that the Sharks can continue to carry that over with some of these players that are transitioning from junior or the college hockey level. You know, the Sharks signed supposedly the most coveted college free agent, dude.
Yes.
He played in some of the final games for the San Jose Sharks, adding to that core. Reportedly very good friends with Henry Thrun.
Okay.
You're adding to this roster of talent, right? That, you know, was kind of a low risk addition. If it doesn't work out, whatever, right?
And an interesting call that he chose to sign with the Sharks. Apparently had plenty of suitors, plenty of teams that were interested. This is an undrafted college player who had a very good college career, and he was the most coveted unsigned player on the market in the college ranks, and the Sharks got him, the worst team in the NHL. Why do you think that is?
I think there's opportunity to play, dude. I mean, Colin Graf probably looking around and going, one, he knows someone on the team mm-hmm. that is a good friend, and he's probably looking around going, I could play now.
Right.
I could play right now. It sounded like part of the negotiation was that he was going to sign the deal and they were going to have to burn a year of the deal right now because he wanted to play now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what they did. I mean, they did a 3-year deal. They burned one of the years right now, you know? And there's no risk on the Sharks' end. Like, you know, they didn't give up any assets. And you see, can this guy who's supposedly, you know, he looks like he's 14, you know? But I mean, but he has a lot of skill. If you can add him to this young group of players, why not? You're looking, it's a lottery ticket, right? It's a lottery ticket. So go for it. Hope it cashes. And I like the move for sure. That's why he signed, I think.
And the Sharks got cap space to burn. It's not like they need to worry about payroll here. They're going to have 30-something million dollars, I think, next year in cap space. And so it's not like, like you said, burn the year. Who cares? If that's what it takes to get this, you know, desirable player on the roster, you do that. That's not a question.
Right. It looks like the Sharks will have close to $38 million in cap space. And, you know, dude, I mean, do you expect them to spend most of that, some of that, almost none of that?
I expect them to spend a fair amount of that on those LTIR type contracts that we've seen other teams do. Okay, we'll take your guy whose leg fell off and we'll assume that cap space, not an LTIR situation, but maybe a player who isn't, you know, in the prime of his career anymore, but he has a big cap hit, and you're like, I'll take him for 2 years, but you got to give us a first, so we'll take him. And the Sharks like, what's $7 million? Who cares? We'll take the cap space. And sometimes the cap space and what he actually gets paid, what the Sharks actually have to physically pay him, put in his bank account, are two completely different numbers. He might have a $7 million cap hit, but they only have to pay him two. And they get a first-round pick. Like, that's an easy call.
Sure. I mean, you got to have ownership on board for that. You're essentially buying picks at that point. But that's a smart strategy. If Plotner's on board for that, the Sharks, I agree with you, should be going that direction. They should be acquiring players who have a year or two left. They essentially just did that, right? With Ruda, mm-hmm. with Granlund. The Granlund things worked out pretty good so far,
for
right?
Sure.
You know, Granlund was man of the year or whatever, yeah. And, you know, had a very successful bounce back season for a guy who was basically banished from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has produced more like along his regular NHL stat line. This is a, you know, guy who traditionally has in the 60 to 70 points, right? Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. what he did. So a good gamble by the Sharks. If he plays well again, they can probably get a pretty decent return at the deadline next year, right? So,
or if he's a good veteran presence in the locker room, you hold on to him because he's going to be the one showing Smith and whoever else the ropes.
That's true. I mean, you know, you can, I don't know if I'd want that at $5 million, but you know, I guess if you don't have any sort of real commitments and, you know, the Sharks will be looking to do these sort of short term, maybe even high price short term kind of deals where you're buying an asset that can have an impact on the team, on a positive locker room presence, and be, you know, an effective player, but also that can be an asset for you later, right? Where in effect, you're also sort of buying a pick if you can spin that person at the deadline. So it is an interesting offseason. I mean, did you catch any of Greer's comments on the type of players he's looking for? It's kind of the same speak he's been using.
It's the same stuff. They want guys who play fast. They want guys who play hard. It's the Mike Greer prototype player, right? They want just more of that. The other thing that's going to be interesting is maybe, you know, we'll talk about the guys who are exiting in a moment, but maybe unlike some of those guys who had been around or were maybe hoping for something a little bit different, it's going to be pretty clear the kind of free agents of the Sharks, if they go after any free agents in the mold that you just mentioned, if they go after some of those kinds of guys, it's going to be clear what their role is going to be. They're like, listen, this is not a last hurrah so you can get to the playoffs, right? We're bringing you in as a mentor to young players, and we're not going to be very good. And we're not going to sign you unless you're cool with that. Like, this isn't like, maybe I can make some magic happen and the Sharks will squeak. No, that's not going to happen, right? You're excited to help get some of these rookies off the ground. You're excited as a turnaround project, right? This is a turnaround project, maybe a 2 or 3 year project. Maybe you won't be there for all of that. Maybe you just want to be a fun guy in the locker room and go to San Jose because you really like falafel drive-in. Who knows?
who doesn't like that?
I love falafel drive-in. Anyway, but you know, it's going to be, you can choose those guys specifically now. And I'm thinking specifically of Kevin LeBanc, maybe, because obviously they didn't like Kevin LeBanc, and he's like, they just basically like kicked his ass out of the locker room. But you know, some of those guys, maybe they weren't on board with that kind of project.
Sure. Well, I mean, it, on board for that kind of project, but also everything you just described is not Mike Hoffman, is not Kevin LeBanc.
Exactly.
It's not Alex Barabanov.
Right.
Like, those are not the type of players that you're describing, right? I mean, the kind of guys that you are describing now. I mean, when you think about plays a heavy game, plays hard. Okay, for all his flaws, that is Kyle Burrows, right? I mean, yeah. Kyle Burrows was, I think, one of the league leaders in hits, plays a physical game, not a very skilled hockey player, but he's willing to put his body on the line, right? And so now you've got a guy like that and the absolute cheap, you know, to sort of soak up those types of minutes when it's needed, right? I would expect the Sharks, who probably didn't have a lot of suitors, you know, for a regular role.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're looking at, you know, those types of players. And you look at what the Blackhawks did this year, right? They were able to get, in a failed way, they attracted a Corey Perry, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they attracted some other veterans who were willing, you know, Corey Perry's already had...
Did they fire him or something? There was big controversy.
Sure, we don't even know what happened, but he got released and now he's on... Where is he? Is he on Edmonton?
I think. Anyways, I'll look it up.
Dude, I mean, but I'm saying, like, Corey Perry already, he's won cups.
Yeah.
He didn't care. Like, I mean, I think he was like, sure, yeah, maybe this seems like a good time, right? I mean, you know, he wasn't as crushed about, you know, not competing. He knew he wouldn't be competing. He just have a chance to be part of, you know, a bit of a renaissance in Chicago. Didn't work out, right?
Yeah, he is in Edmonton. Yeah, and at least from the reports I read, you know, certainly he left under this cloud and no one really understands what the situation was. I guess there were some rumors, which I'm not even going to repeat because I don't even really understand what they were. But at least all the other reports were all the guys there loved him. Like, all the players on the team thought he was a good dude. I'm not trying to excuse or minimize anything that he allegedly did.
Yeah, we don't know what happened, right?
We have no idea, but...
But I think
they didn't fire him because he was a jerk to everybody else. They fired him because there was some other incident that happened we don't know about.
You're looking for some guys like that. You're looking for, and I think, dude, it's going to be different. If the Sharks get the number one pick and they have Smith and Celebrini, you're going to have people who are like, you know what? I might want to be part of that.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like it might be like, you know, that this team is going to be on the rise, right?
For sure.
And so... You might attract some players like that. If they don't get the number one pick, then I don't know that we're necessarily in a different place than we are right now, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know that you're going to have a lot of veteran players that are super interested in coming unless you're finding guys like Philip Zadina, dude, you know, who, I mean, this guy was looking for some way to resurrect his, you know, disappointing career. I wouldn't say he necessarily did.
No, I wouldn't say he did. He was just too invisible too often. And then when he made the headline, they were eye-popping. But the problem was is that too much of the other times, he was a non-factor. And that's not really what you want if you're trying to build grit and consistency in a young team.
Dude, let's take a look at the roster here, and we can go through each player's contract status and sort of analyze what we think the future holds here. We're going to start with the goalies. We're going a little untraditional here. Mackenzie Blackwood is signed for another year. He's the unquestioned, I think, number one goaltender. You know, his stats were, you know, on paper, do not look amazing, dude. But, you know, for a bad team, you know, he was pretty good, I would say. Agree?
I definitely agree. I think when there's no goalie on the worst team in the NHL who's going to have good stats. It's just not the thing. The question is he the problem? And I don't think anybody would be pointing the finger at Mackenzie Blackwood. This is a team with loads of offensive and defensive talent. He just let in goals like a sieve, and so that's why they were so bad?
Yeah.
Hardly.
For the first time in a few years, he was not the problem,
yes.
Right? And Kokkonen wasn't the problem either, right? I mean, they were not the reason why this team was bad.
No.
And on some nights, they were the reason why this team actually won,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The Sharks have a second goalie under contract next year who we did not see in Teal, Vitek Vanacek, right? Another New Jersey Devils castoff who's been injured. Before this year, dude, I mean, he's had some success. He's started playoff games in the NHL level. I wouldn't say that he is an excellent goalie, but I would say he is a league average goalie,
right?
at worst, right? I mean, this guy is not a bad player or an unproven player. So you've got Vanacek and Blackwood coming in. Now, what do the Sharks do with local boy Devin Cooley?
Yeah, Devin Cooley's a great story, right?
What happens here, dude? He's unrestricted. Dude, I don't know that... I'm not sure what would happen, like, if they wanted to keep him, right? And I don't know, dude. I mean, I don't know, other than it being a good story, is he a good player?
Too early to tell.
You know, dude, I mean, his stats in six games are pretty awful, right? Yeah. Although they got boat raced a couple times when he was in there. Some of it probably not his fault.
Right.
But can, as an unrestricted free agent, can he be signed and then sent? He'd almost have to be signed, I think, dude, to a minor league deal, right? You can't have three goalies on the roster.
Well, you could sign him and then waive him and put him down.
I guess. I mean, you'd be. That would be the strategy here, right? Because he's not.
He's not going to get claimed.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah, I guess not, dude. I mean, with Vanacek being hurt and maybe the uncertainty, maybe you see that Cooley will be signed, waived, and hopefully could be, you know, playing some meaningful games for the Barracuda.
Especially since Vanacek's never even played. I don't know if you really want to put all your eggs in that basket, because what if he, I don't know the nature of his injury. Maybe it's a very recoverable one, but maybe it's not, and you need a little extra jump in someone's step in order to try and make the roster here. You don't just want to give it to him on a silver platter if he can't get healthy.
Sure. All right, we're jumping to D, dude. Mark-Edouard Vlasic signed for two more years. This contract
is a bargain. He's a bargain right now.
This contract is almost up.
He's scoring in bunches, dude.
Bunches? Dude, there's nothing to see here, right? I mean, Mark-Edouard Vlasic is going to be on this team next year. There's no way around this. And he'll be back. Mario Ferraro. Two more years at 3.25. Probably the most tradable asset the Sharks had. We talked about this at the deadline. I don't feel like it's a necessary move at this point.
I don't, and I'm not even sure that you would get a lot of return for a player like Mario Ferraro right now. His stats aren't very eye-popping. He's not considered a big hitter or a super strong defender the way Vlasic was in his early years. I'm not so sure that Ferraro is the piece that teams who need to add, they're going to look at Ferraro and say, that's the guy. that we got to have, right? Or that's one of the two or three guys that would we really want to target. Maybe I'm wrong about that. You know, I don't know. But I don't see... I mean, it's a very reasonable cap hit. I like him as a player. He seems like a good dude. This is the kind of guy you want on the Sharks. He seems to work hard every night. That's what I want.
Yeah, I think that they should keep him. I don't know that it's worth trading him for a second, right? I just I don't think it's worth it. I think you get more out of him being on the team. Jan Ruda also signed for one more year, 2.75. He's going to be back.
Yeah, it's fine. You know? It's fine.
Kyle Burrows will be back two more years, 1.1 cap hit.
Also fine.
Right? Henry Thrun has some sort of weird like mark next to his name on Cap Friendly. He is some sort of restricted free agent. I think there's no doubt that he will be back and they will sign him. I'm going to skip a player here. We're going to come back to him at the end because I think it's a pretty decent question. Jacob McDonald, acquired last year as part of the Ryan Merkley deal, plays forward, plays defense, plays essentially for the minimum. He's 31. I could see the Sharks bringing him back.
Really?
I could see them bringing him back because he is a versatile, flexible player who can go probably unclaimed back and forth from, you know, the minors. I don't know. I mean,
it's hard for me to believe there's not 10 more players like this.
Sure, but I mean,
out there, you know, that could be better.
Well, I mean, if there's someone that's better, you should get him. But I think they may value his ability to play all over the ice, you know, when injuries happen.
And there may be some intangibles there. Yeah, I don't know. But
I'm not pining for Jacob McDonald either. Listen, I'm just saying that, you know, when you're a team that's looking for to fill holes from time to time, it seems like this is a guy that's been able to do it. And he was able to go back and forth between the minors without anyone claiming him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me. Maybe I'm just too eager to spend Hasse Plattner's money, but it's you know, given the salary cap situation, I'm not sure why we need to keep a league minimum guy. We can get a $1.5 million guy that's going to be a lot better, maybe better in the room, you know, have other specific skills that would be useful, you know, in the mold that we talked about a little while ago. You know, I don't see why Jacob McDonald has to be that guy.
Sure. Well, I think what this is where, you know, the roster crunch starts to come into view here, right? Because you've got Matt Benning, who didn't play really much at all this year. He signed another 2 years. And then, you know, the two players that they kind of need to make a decision on are Kalen Addison and Ty Emberson, right? Ty Emberson claimed on waivers from the Rangers early in the season, sort of a defenseman, had some physicality to his game. And Kalen Addison, who had a mental breakdown at the end of the year in terms of getting all of these misconducts, all of these, he got two. But, it you know, it seemed like, you know, dude, it was so interesting. I don't know if I told you this, but like when we did the Sharks like experience and we were doing the fist bumping,
yeah,
to tell you, the only player who did not fist bump with us was Kalen Addison.
Wow.
He wouldn't make eye contact with us. Nothing, right? It just was interesting to kind of be like, oh, maybe you're not in a good place right now. It just was, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into this.
Maybe he was fighting the stomach flu.
Maybe he's the one who gave my family the stomach flu.
Maybe.
I don't think so. I just thought it was interesting, dude. Like, I walked there, I was like, gosh, what's wrong with him? And then, you know, the next week, he's going nuclear on the misconducts. It just was funny, right? And that you go, I wonder what's going on with that dude. But what do you do with these two guys, dude? Because you've got... only have so many spots. And like you said, if you want to add to make the team better, you just don't have a lot of spots because you're committed to Thrun, right? Are you going to play Mukko Badulin next year or is he on the CUDA, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to play the kid we got from Tampa Bay or is he on the CUDA, right? So what you've got Burrows, you've got Benning, you've got Ruda, you've got Ferrar, what do you do here with Addison and Emberson?
I don't think you really need either of those guys, but of those two, the one I'm more inclined to keep is Emberson, to be perfectly honest. I mean, Kalen Addison was supposed to be this like puck-moving defenseman, and he's horrible defensively and didn't put up that many points. So it's not like a you-had-one-job situation, but you kind of only had one job, and he wasn't much of a point producer. So, and I, you know, like you said, I don't know if there's something else going on. Maybe there's something in his personal life or whatever, or maybe he's just a, you know, unpleasant person. I have no clue. But, you know, he seems like less desirable than Ty Emberson. You know what you're going to get. It says right there on the tin what you're going to get with Ty Emberson. And he gave it to you. You know, that's, I got no problem with a player like that. But you're right. If Mook Medulin's going to come up, if some of these other guys you want to challenge for jobs, then there's no reason to offer either of these guys contracts.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you can do better, right? Like you just said, like you can do better than Kalen Addison. This team does need a puck moving defenseman.
No question.
And so if you're looking on the free agent or trade market, I think that is your top of priority, because they just are not able to drive any sort of offense. And I don't think there's any reason to make that Kalen Addison. I think they're not even going to qualify him. I think he's just going to be gone.
Okay.
You know, Ty Emberson. I agree with you, dude. I don't know, but, I just don't feel like you can commit to like having him being one of your seven, you know?
Yeah.
When I think you are committing to Thrun, right? Like you're committing to Thrun, you've got Burrows, you've got Benning, you've got Vlasic, you've got Ferraro, you've got Ruda. I mean, where Mooka Medulin, I mean, like, what do you, where, yeah. you know?
Where's he going to go?
And it's not like we're talking about, this is like a roster crunch of talent.
Right.
It's just a roster crunch of contracts, right?
More or less.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, something that's possible is, dude, maybe someone will want Ruda over the summer, right? I mean, you get an expiring year of a veteran Stanley Cup winning defenseman. Maybe you can move Ruda over the summer, you know? And that would free up a spot. Maybe you can move... I'm just going to say maybe you can move Kyle Burrows. Maybe. I mean, but I don't know that they want to do that. I mean, then you're subtracting from the thing that you actually said that you wanted.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to want Matt Benning because he, until he can demonstrate he's healthy, I don't think he has any value.
No.
So a weird spot, but I think that we agree on what they need.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move to forwards.
Granlund, one more year at $5 million. He, I believe, will be back. I mean, I would be surprised otherwise. We're going down the roster. Kevin Labanka, for sure, goodbye. Mike Hoffman, probably already moved out of his rental.
Yep.
Luke Cunnan, restricted free agent, dude.
You qualify him.
For sure.
No question.
I think he's got to be back, right? Alexander Barabanov, this seems to be the big whiff of the trade deadline for the Sharks. He not coming back, and the fact that they didn't move him at all.
Maybe nobody wanted him.
Yeah, I guess.
He's no spring chicken anymore. He's 29, and he's really, I mean, he's sort of past the prime of hockey players, and I don't know what he's proven.
Nico Sturm, he's got one more year at $2 million. I mean,
I like Nico Sturm.
Sure, I do too. It's another player, though, that I could see a team, a cup contender, wanting him,
yeah,
right, and you might be able to get something for him. I don't know that I would say no if you got a pretty decent offer for him. Klim Kostin, gotta stay. This dude, I like this dude a lot.
He's got another year. Anyway.
He's got another year. I mean, I think he's part of the future. Fabian Zetterlund,
clearly the best, like pound for pound, best player on the roster in terms of points per dollar.
So, I mean. Do you try and sign this guy to an extension now?
No.
Why not, dude? I mean, if he has another really great year, I mean, it's just getting more expensive. I guess maybe you don't care.
They're going to have
a ton of money.
They got the money.
Okay. What do you do with Philip Zadina here, dude?
Yeah, that's a I think you can do better situation. Do we really need inconsistent players on this roster? I would rather have consistent and below average players than extremely inconsistent above average players.
It's a tough call, right? You know, I mean, I think he's 24. He's never lived up to his potential. He was kind of given this chance to rediscover himself, and he just discovered he was a minus 44. That's about it, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to say pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wish him luck, but I don't know. I think you're right. The Sharks need to be headed in the right direction. I could just see this ending up being LeBanc 2.0, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't give him anything more than a one-year deal anyways, right? So Colin Graf will be part of this team. Thomas Bortolo is also will be part of this team. They just need to redo his contract. Looks like his contract is up. Eklund will be on the roster. Giovanni Smith, dude. I mean, this guy is going to be on the roster. He signed for another year. That's kind of been a total whiff. I don't know what they thought they were getting, but.
Didn't work out.
Dude, let me ask you about Justin Bailey.
Okay.
Should he be back?
I don't really think so. I don't know. I'm looking down this roster, and honestly, it does my heart good because I remember looking at some Sharks rosters of years past, and you look at that age column, and they were all in the 30s. And now if we look at that age column, a lot of these guys are in the early and middle 20s, and that's great. But now that Hoffman's gone, LeBanc's gone, Barabanov is gone, those are, frankly, three of the older players. Now the oldest guy on the forward court is going to be Ryan Carpenter, who is basically a career sort of fourth-line player. Maybe the Sharks need to go out and get a veteran. They need to go out and get it. Maybe not, a top dollar guy, but they need to get a guy who's 30 years old, who's been around the block a few times, knows how it works in the NHL. Maybe he's not the most skilled player ever. You need another Michael Granlin, kind of.
I got good news for you, dude.
Who we got?
I know the player they should get.
Who's that?
Logan Couture. He'll be back next year, dude. I mean, Logan Couture, it's weird to say this. He's 35, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. He didn't play at all this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will be back, and that will make the team better. He would be that guy. Justin Bailey, dude, I mean, he's big. There's a lot of things that he does that I think are positive, you could do worse. I think in a fourth line role, you could do worse. You could play Giovanni Smith, essentially.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he was back. I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Carpenter was back, just because those guys, Carpenter was up and down with the Barracuda. He's a fringe NHL player, right? So we'll see. Jack Studnicka, dude. I mean, that was a whiff of a trade with the Canucks, where essentially it was just a flyer on a guy who was looking for an opportunity. We got limited ones here and never really produced, and I don't think really had very much success down at the Barracuda level either, dude. I mean, 36 games, 21 points. I mean, meh.
It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine, right? I mean, but not you're not looking at that going, this guy's ready to play in the NHL, you know? So, and then in terms of injuries, the player that was out is Logan Couture. You know who else is coming off the books, dude? Oscar Lindblom off the books.
A unfortunately failed experiment. Would have loved to see that guy catch purchase again on an NHL roster after all of the health stuff he had to deal with a few years ago, but didn't happen. Wish him the best.
Yeah. And, dude, I mean, you look down the roster for the Sharks and you go, okay, see, the kid I was talking about that we got from Tampa is Jack Thompson. Jack Thompson. Jack Thompson's got one more year left on his contract before he becomes an RFA. I mean, to me, I think he got to play some NHL games next year. They got to find out.
Yeah.
Like, are you any good? Are you going to be around or no? Right. You've got David Edstrom, right? The kid we got for Hurdle. He's already signed his ELC, right?
Yeah, okay.
So you've got some guys here that, and Gushkin, is he going to press for a forward spot next year? Some interesting questions, as the Sharks go into the offseason, dude. They got four picks in the first two rounds, assuming that Pittsburgh gives us their pick, which I think we assume they will.
I'm assuming they will.
Right?
I can't imagine them being... I don't know.
Well, I think you're right, dude. I mean, I think...
I think they could be worse next year.
They think they could be worse next year, so why risk it?
Because that, if they wait till next year, it's not protected, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, dude, Greer did not exactly give David Quinn a vote of confidence. Didn't, like, slam him, but didn't say, I stand behind our coaching staff. And he also didn't stand behind the Barracuda coaching staff, which I appreciate, because I think that there does need to be changes there. There just hasn't been any positivity coming out of that program, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, dude, what do you think is going to happen with David Quinn?
I think Greer was right. How can you have confidence in your coaching staff when you're the worst team in the NHL? You can't. The question is, and we've talked about it before on the podcast, is Quinn developing players? I don't know if the jury's back on that one, right? I don't know if it's clear, hey, we brought up these young guys and they caught fire and they were put in the right spot and they seem happy even though the team is bad. Like, none of that happened. So I think a reasonable person might ask, is Quinn the right guy to shepherd this team through this phase?
Would you, I guess this is, it kind of goes down to the only player that you can identify this year as like a young Sharks core player was William Eklund, who played 80 of the 82 games. Would you say this year was a success for William Eklund, dude? On 16 goals, 29 assists, 45 points on a horrible team, the worst team. But, you know, do you feel like it was disappointing, or are you like, watching him this year, I can see like where this is going?
I think more the latter than the former. I don't think he was wasted and was stunted. Of course, you'd like to see a little bit more breakout, but he's 21 years old, right? You know, not everybody can be Connor McDavid and just like take the league by storm at 19 or whatever, right? So I think Eklund did fine. I don't know if it's not a huge success, but it's not a dismal failure either, which is why I think, you know, sort of the wishy-washy comments from Greer are justified.
Dude, this is my theory. Can I tell you my theory?
I want to hear it.
I think if the Sharks get the number one pick on May 12th, which they will, dude, I'm willing it to happen, I do think that there's a good chance that Celebrini and Smith will both sign and they're going to come into the NHL next year together. And they're going to play on the Sharks, right? They're not going to play for the Barracuda. They're going to play for the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that's going to happen, I don't think David Quinn will be the coach anymore.
Okay. That's the tipping point.
If they have identified someone who they think can be the next voice to lead them through their development, right? Now, if they haven't, then why make a change, right? But what you don't want to do is do what Edmonton's done, which is basically change coaches every 2.5 years.
Right.
Or less.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no continuity, no sort of stability in and around one of the best hockey players ever.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And you look at that team even now and you go, gosh, they played really well in the regular season. I have no confidence that they're going to do well in the playoffs. And I guess if the Sharks felt like they knew who that coach was going to be, right? Like, Colorado made the right move at the right time, right? They got, mm-hmm. they made that coaching decision. They switched coaches and that coach grew up with that team and they made it, you know, they made it, right? Can you make that call? Do you know who that is for you? It'll just be interesting to watch.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's a good point. I don't mind those kinds of things. I think everybody's always sort of fighting for their job, especially when the team is so bad. I don't know if it's a good thing to say like, yeah, you're nice and safe, even though we only had 47 points in the regular season. I mean, it's embarrassing. That's an embarrassing number of points.
Sure. And it was, and obviously he has the most untalented roster.
Yes, of course.
In hockey. So that's hard, but they were boring also. It's just a boring team. A lot of that has to do with talent, but some of that has to do with the way that they play, and it's just hard to watch. So if you've got Smith and Celebrini, and maybe Bystad,
yeah,
all coming up,
yep,
right? You got to have the right, you got to have the right people around them to make them feel successful.
If
right?
If they lose 6-5 with Smith, Celebrini, and Bystad, I'm going to games.
Sure, absolutely, dude. Yeah, no question. Like, no question. And I don't know, maybe Quinn is fine for that, for that. I don't know. That's my feeling, dude. I just have a feeling that if, I think this is going to go two different directions. I think if we get Celebrini, the rebuild is going to happen a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to now go into a different gear. If we don't, I think we may be looking at another year like we just went through,
yeah,
where it's just not going to be as turbocharged, and I don't know how motivated Smith will be to come.
Right.
And I don't know that I would blame him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Why would you be? Well, dude, lots of questions. Okay, so I think we're going to be back May 12th.
We'll be back May 12th. We got to talk about the playoffs really quick, dude. I know we're running long, but... Dude, I mean, like, we've got, I think, an equal number of teams left here.
You've got
more in the East. I've got more in the West. The Central playoffs is just, you've got.
Yeah.
Dallas versus Vegas, Winnipeg and Colorado. Brutal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Brutal. I've got three of those four teams. I like my odds of having the team coming out of that division, dude.
Yep.
Although I worry, I really am rooting for Dallas and Pavelski, but
sure.
I worry about them playing Vegas in the first round, and even if they get out of it, that they're just not going to have enough left in the tank to go the whole way, because I think that's going to be brutal.
Mm-hmm.
In the Pacific, dude, Vancouver versus Nashville, Edmonton versus the Kings. We've each got two of those teams, dude. I mean, on paper, Edmonton should sail.
Yeah, I got Edmonton. But I agree with everything you said a moment ago. How can you possibly buy in to this team now as opposed to other years?
Yeah.
You can't. You got it. This is a prove it situation. They got to prove it.
If I was in Vegas and the bet was Edmonton versus the Field, I would take the Field. I mean, like, I just in the Pacific, I don't have any confidence that they're going to be able to pull it off, and I wouldn't be shocked if they lost to the Kings. I wouldn't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
I
would
be shocked.
That's true. It's like, you would be shocked if, you know, I'm trying to think of who are the Islanders playing?
Well, the Canes and the Islanders and the Rangers and the Capitals.
I'd be shocked if the Hurricanes lost, right? Like, that's a shocking situation.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing as Edmonton Kings, right?
Yeah, Rangers and Canes are on a collision course in the Metro, and... you know, that's going to be...
Toronto-Boston again.
Yeah, Toronto-Boston. And dude, I mean, you know, I have Toronto, you have Boston. And I was like, come on.
I love my chances.
Like, you know,
I love my chances.
Come on, Toronto. Like, this is going to be the year that it's different. Like, they've added Reeves. They added Domi. They added Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
It's going to be different. Nope. Nope. They got completely pantsed yesterday. And it was ugly. And Nylander's out. And it's just, dude,
yeah.
I just... That's a team that is going to get completely blown up, I think, if they lose in the first round. They have to take a sledgehammer to that roster, because what a disaster.
Yep.
Right? And then the other matchup, that was a good game today. I watched that game today, Florida-Tampa. That is ugly. You know what I mean?
What a terrible draw for Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough draw, but I got to tell you, dude, like, they played really well today. They, you know, they dictated that game. Tampa, you know, had no shots in the first like 16 minutes and then scored on like their second shot. And Florida could have easily been like, uh-oh. But they didn't, and they won 3-2. It was a good game. That's going to be... That smells of seven. It reeks of seven,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So, I mean, should be good times.
Good times. Vegas Cup still in play.
Vegas Cup still in play. I mean, what team are you the most excited about? Do you think that it can go on the deepest run here on your side?
You know, if Florida, I like Florida.
Yeah.
I like Florida right now. If they can get past Tampa, I like it. You know, they might build some confidence. No other team in the East. I would love to see Edmonton break out. You know, they have the personnel. They have the ability to do it. They got the best player in the league. This guy can just put the game on his back and win.
Right.
He can just completely take over a game by himself. There are very few players, if any other players, maybe Austin Matthews, who can do that. He can do that. If you get a guy that's hot and Edmonton, the team loves, you know, the city and the area loves hockey so much, that's a great building to play in. I mean, that could be an electric story.
Sure.
For the league. But, you know, how can you trust it at this point?
The Pacific is a giant question. I have no idea who's going to come out of that. I feel like whoever does will get destroyed by whoever comes out of the Central.
You think so?
I think those teams are the better teams. You know, I think Dallas, Winnipeg, I don't know what the score was. Winnipeg was leading Colorado when I left the car to come in here. They were down 1-0, and then they came back and took a 2-1 lead. And let's see, dude. Now they're ahead 4-3 in the second period. So that's quite a... You know, I mean, that Hellebuck's the difference there. Georgiev has been bad, you know, and he's, you know, and they don't have Drouin. You know, I think the Jets get by there. So, you know, Jets, Stars, probably Oilers, and God.
Well, Vancouver?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm rooting for that because I have them, but I don't know. I mean, Vancouver was so hot, and then they kind of became middle of the road. But I don't think the Preds are, they're not good. I mean, like, so anyways, dude, I don't know.
Who knows? That's you're right. That's a big question mark.
Yeah. I like the Canes and Rangers. I'm glad I have those two teams. I think one of them's going to win the cup.
All right. All right. You heard it here first.
Dude.
Dude, thanks for coming by. May 12th, next podcast.
Oh, my God, please.
Please, please.
Please.
Please. Go Sharks. Go Sharks.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.